Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2006 with a release date of Friday, April 8th, 2016 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Australia's giant electronics retailer gets a reprieve. A Florida disaster drill is anything but disastrous. And World Amateur Radio Day is coming. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2006, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
This week's newscast opens with an update on the troubled Australian mega retailer Dick Smith Electronics. Amateur radio operators in Australia, New Zealand, and no doubt elsewhere will be pleased to learn that reports of its death were premature. More from Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Electronics retailer saved goes online. An 11th-hour rescue has saved Australia's mega retailer, Dick Smith Electronics, from the dusty pages of history. Well, sort of. Entrepreneur Russell Kogan has purchased the online portion of the embattled retailer's business for an undisclosed amount and, according to press reports, will launch internet-based sales starting the 1st of June. The online-only sales operation will be part of a dual-brand strategy online alongside Kogan.com. Placement into receivership of the venerable Dick Smith Holdings, which had more than 300 locations in New Zealand and Australia, cost thousands of workers their jobs and, in the amateur radio community, foretold the loss of an important resource of electronic components. The online Kogan.com site, which is Australia's single largest online-only seller, offers a variety of consumer goods, such as bed linens, camping equipment, and home electronics. Dick Smith will be run separately from that site and is considered an off-platform venture by the 33-year-old self-made Kogan. A native of Belarus, Kogan's founder is believed to have a personal net worth in excess of $350 million. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
In Florida, the scene spelled disaster, the crash of a bus and a train. It was just a drill, but an important one. We hear details from Amateur Radio Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
The devastating collision between a passenger train and a bus near Morgan Park in Arcadia, Florida, was just a test. And with the help of area radio amateurs, everyone scored passing grades. The April 1 mock disaster was organized to challenge area hospital emergency departments as well as first responders. And with area hams on the alert throughout, keeping their radios on 2-meter simplex, planners said it proved a useful learning experience. Hendry County's Emergency Management Director Brian Newhouse, KJ4WIC, led staff and reservists through the procedures as 13 people who were made up with simulated injuries awaited attention, triage, and transport. While rescue operations got underway, Hendry County CERT Coordinator Margaret England, KM4OVY, Aries Emergency Coordinator Frank Harris, WA4PAM, and Volunteer Coordinator Tony Fanska, KC0SJU, helped ensure safety on the roads in the Morgan Park area. Brenda Barnes, Planning Consultant and Public Information Officer for the Florida Department of Health in Hendry and Glades counties, proclaimed the drill a successful training exercise and praised it for helping strengthen the working relationships among the hams and emergency professionals. It was also a great way to showcase the need for more active, responsive, licensed hams. Hendry County Emergency Management plans to host a free ham radio training session on Saturday, April 16th, and will also provide free CERT training on June. To register, call the Emergency Operations Center at 863-674-5400. That's 863-674-5400, because there are a lot more tests awaiting everyone in the future. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Spring brings the start of gardening season, and yes, hurricane season. The Hurricane WatchNet isn't just on the lookout for storms, but for licensed hams, too. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
May isn't that far away, and neither are hurricanes in some parts of the country. According to the Hurricane WatchNet, the Eastern Pacific storm season begins May 15th and ends November 30th. Hurricanes also become more of a likelihood in the Atlantic between June 1st and November 30th, but sometimes hurricanes can and do occur out of season. So the Hurricane Watch Net is hoping to get a jump on the season by attracting additional net control operators in hopes that radio amateurs will step forward to serve as net control stations and provide other support. According to Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, manager of the Hurricane Watch Net, experienced operators are needed, especially those who are bilingual in Spanish and English. Operators need to be prepared for long hours under stressful conditions. Although net control stations must become members of the Hurricane Watch Net, stations serving as reporting stations or as observers do not need membership. To assist the Hurricane Watch Net, visit the membership information page at www.hwn.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
Check out the HamFest calendar. The Split Rock Amateur Radio Association's annual HamFest kicks off early, and we do mean early, on Saturday, April 16th. People will be arriving for setup starting at 6 a.m. at the Roxbury Senior Center at Horseshoe Lake on Eland Avenue in Succasunna, New Jersey. Buyers begin arriving at 8 a.m. Bring your QSL cards. The HamFest will have DXCC card checking available, along with a VE session if you're looking to upgrade, or even get your ticket for the first time. VE registration starts at 8:30 a.m. and the exams start a half hour later promptly at 9. And yes, the HamFest will also be on the air, talking on the 146.985 repeater K2GG. And you can be there in spirit. For more details, visit splitrockara.org and make your plans. Meanwhile, details are also being finalized for the 11th annual North Central Indiana HamFest, held Saturday, April 16th as well. The half-day event is open from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Miami County 4-H Fairgrounds north of Peru, Indiana. The HamFest will also include VE testing from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And as an extra incentive, anyone who qualifies for a new license after the testing is admitted free. Otherwise, admission is $5 at the door and free for anyone 17 years of age or younger. Get out and enjoy a HamFest. With age comes wisdom, right? Well, two ham radio clubs are both hitting the 50-year mark this year, and they're not shy about sharing their smarts. We hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Between them, they have 100 years on the air. On one side of the Atlantic, the Mid-Ulster Amateur Radio Club in Northern Ireland is marking its 50th year. And, just across the pond, so is the Montgomery Amateur Radio Club in Maryland. The club in the Washington, D.C. suburbs is doing its 50th birthday in grand style, with a special event station, Kilo 5 Oscar, running through Sunday, April 17th, in various modes and on a number of the HF bands and QSL card designed to mark the occasion. According to its website, the club meets on the first and third Wednesday of each month in Rockville, Maryland. For the club, which has the call sign KV3B, it's been a great 50 years. For the Mid-Ulster Club, call sign MN0VFW, it's been a half century of growth. The modest-sized group now counts one member for each year they've been a club, and they have a notable local track record, getting involved in everything from local marathons to scouting events to QSOs with astronauts aboard the International Space Station. They've even launched a program geared toward younger hams called MUARC Youth, because one of the joys of being 50 is offering a helping hand to those who still have a few decades to go to get there, too. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana.
Thanks, Neil. It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including Wednesdays on the WD9HSY repeater, operated by the Tri-Town Amateur Radio Club in Hazel Crest, Illinois. Hams around the world may not be close enough to extend their hands in friendship, so they extend their antennas instead. That's the spirit behind World Amateur Radio Day, a day of even more on-air fellowship than usual. That would be April 18th, which falls on a Monday this year. The date marks the founding in 1925 of the International Amateur Radio Union. The IARU is encouraging groups to promote their activities on that day via social media using the hashtag WARD2016. And to make use of a poster and flyer, both downloadable from their website at iaru.org. One of the largest bicycle races in the Mid-Atlantic region has some amateurs along for the ride, but they weren't exactly pedaling. These hams were riding the bands instead. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW, with the details.
There's kilocycles, there's megacycles, and then there's two-wheeled, multi-geared racing cycles. And when a full racing contingent of those kinds of cycles set out recently in a road race in Virginia's Albemarle County, the only thing that seemed to ensure that they'd keep moving forward safely were the other types of cycles, the kinds that come with radios. That's what brought the Albemarle Amateur Radio Club back to help out the Jefferson Cup Road Race Sunday, April 3rd, as it has for more than a quarter century. The goal was to see that participants along the various routes, which top off at 80 miles in length, stay safe as they follow their course. The race is one of the biggest in the Mid-Atlantic, but cell phones don't work reliably in that part of the county, according to Mike McPherson, KQ9P, the Amateur Radio Emergency Service Emergency Coordinator for the county. And for the cyclists to stay safe and to keep motor vehicle traffic diverted from them, reliable communications was a must. It's not just a commitment the hams make to the race, but it's a trial run for the real thing. McPherson told the Daily Progress newspaper, quote, "This is great practice. With any luck, there aren't very many real emergencies. So we use these events to practice our procedures and make sure our equipment works," end quote. McPherson has other goals, too, that include making connections with the Ham Radio Club at the University of Virginia, W4UVA, and helping Elmer even younger people who want to get into the science and the experience of radio. That, after all, doesn't just move bicycles in a forward direction. It also keeps the hobby safely on course. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
You can add one more piece of equipment, or perhaps two, to the array of rakes, hoes, and shovels you might find in a British garden. A transceiver. This new garden tool cultivates a bountiful crop of QSOs. The Radio Society of Great Britain has launched a new activity known as Sheds, Allotments, and Greenhouses on the Air, or SAGHOTA, S-A-G-H-O-T-A. And the date for radio operation already began on Friday, April 1st, and continues informally thereafter on the dates of the amateur's choosing. In the same spirit as Summits on the Air and Islands on the Air, SAGHOTA will encourage the cultivation of contacts anywhere, as long as they're made on the same band on the same day. Organizers are quick to point out that the event also celebrates the great tradition of British gardens, expressing the hope that, as well as transceivers, tea-making apparatus, biscuits, and waffles are present if possible. Beer and sandwiches? Well, that's your discretion. Checking the world of DX, listen for Ben, DL1RNT, working as 8Q7NT from Mbudu Island, South Malay Atoll, through April 17th. Ben is working holiday style on 40 through 10 meters using mostly CW, some RTTY, and PSK. Send QSLs via his home call sign. Mike, SQ3PMM, is active as 9X9MM throughout Rwanda, working on 80 through 10 meters. He's using CW and SSB. Most of his operations have been on 20 and 15 meters SSB and some slow CW. See his QSL information on QRZ.com. And in Italy, it's a special event that's a wartime commemoration. Members of the ARI Fidenza Radio Club will be active on the HF bands as IQ4FE from April 18th through April 28th. The station marks a World War II event known as Fornovo's Sack Battle near Parma, Italy in April 1945. There are commemorative QSL cards available. Send yours via the Bureau to IQ4FE. And finally, we celebrate the fact that sometimes it takes a little longer for that QSL card to reach its destination. Sometimes years. Sometimes decades. And in this case, 3/4 of a century. But oh, it was worth it. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, with the story of a time-traveling QSL card.
A QSL card that ended up in the hands of Jane Walton in the UK in late February had to cross not just one ocean, but two generations before reaching her. It belonged to a British radio amateur, Clifton Trevor Malkin, call sign G5IV. Clifton was Jane's grandfather, and though Jane is not a ham and had never had a QSL with her grandpa, she always kept fond memories of him in his shack when she was a child in Yorkshire. She would hear him make contacts around the world via radio from Barnsley and was charmed by its magic. 2 months ago, some magic happened again, but in a different way. Feeling nostalgic, Jane decided to type her grandfather's call sign in the Google search engine, and one of the responses that came up was an eBay listing which said, QSL card, ham radio card, and the call sign was G5IV. The card had been posted to the US long ago from Barnsley, following a successful QSO in 1939. Now the American seller was asking $6.50 for G5IV's card. Jane bid on the item, and now, some 77 years later, the card is back home to where it all began. The Barnsley Chronicle carried the story of Jane Walton and her reunion with the QSL card in its April the 1st edition, creating perhaps the impression that it was one of those April Fool's tales that makes its way into the public domain this time of year. But indeed, the offering of the card can still be found on eBay in the inventory of the eBay seller Anne's Books and Stuff. The seller, not surprisingly, has a number of other vintage QSL cards from around the world. But Jane Walton has the only one she'll ever want. It's a piece of her childhood, Come Back Home. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH in Nottingham in the UK.
With thanks to ABC.net Australia, Allen Labs, Andrew Frame, WD4RCC, the ARRL, the Barnsley Chronicle, Big Lake Amateur Radio Club, CQ Magazine, DX.net, Eric Buttinger, Into KOJ, eBay, Facebook, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, International Amateur Radio Union, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QSL.net, QRZ.com, Ralph Murray, KB9WSL, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Sheds, Allotments, and Gardens on the Air, Twit TV, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. And again, a reminder that the nominating period for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. Full details and the nominating form is available right now on our website, www.arnewsline.org. Just click on the YHOTY tab. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights are reserved.